Monday morning. This video is inspired by Bush Radical. And I didn't even know that him and Girl in the Woods were a unit until I watched that video this morning. I don't watch a lot of off-grid videos, but what was the title of his video? Oh, Off-Grid Living is a Lie. And pretty cool little video. I've thought about a lot of things that he brought up in that video myself. And I've had multiple people come on this channel in the comment section saying, you have a smartphone, so you're not really living off-grid. And, you know, as if this channel is somehow unauthentic. And I gotta disagree with that big time. that's just ridiculous just because I have a smartphone. We are, you know, Bush Radical kind of talking about, you know, what is off-grid, and that's not being hooked up to public utilities, primarily water and electricity. Hey, what's up? Now we got some people coming in here. Good morning, everybody. It's Monday morning. I'm talking about Hollywood and real off-grid living. Kind of inspired this video. I was watching Bush Radical posted a video either last night or whatever, talking about how YouTube's kind of bullshit. It really doesn't. Good morning, Sean. It really doesn't matter what the topic is. That's generally the case. So what he was talking about there is a lot of people are seem to be discouraged from living an off-grid lifestyle because they think they need a lot of money. And one of the things he was talking about is how him and I don't know what his girl in the woods, I don't know what her name is, but they've kind of done it like I've done it. You know, I've been doing this type of stuff since like the mid-80s, like 1987. Various enterprises and adventures I've taken into alternative living and off-grid. And we've done this place here very much like they've done it. And, you know, he said you see a lot of these channels where they'll be collecting water off the roof, but they got a $40,000 solar setup. Or and I think he was talking about Survivor Man, Les Stroud, talking about, you know, using a helicopter to bring in materials. And so people see that and they think, well, shit, I can't do that, you know. That is one way. We call them Richies. that's what that's known as amongst people of alternative lifestyle. They're Richies. They really don't do anything themselves. They hire out everything. And if there's any kind of problem, they don't problem solve. They always throw money at everything. And that's one way to do it. That's not the way we've done it, though. Kind of the same thing. You know, most of this house is built out of other houses that I tore down. And as a matter of fact, I just got an email. Some guy's got some outbuildings that he wants me to take down. We're looking to finish this place off. I have some things that would finish this off, or we're going to sell it. We're looking for another piece of property. We were never really intended to stay here forever. This was kind of our toehold place so that we could explore out west, because I'm originally from the Midwest, and we could explore until we really decide where we want to land. Like the rub of the alternative lifestyle. It's exactly the same thing as the rubs. Absolutely. It's, like I said, this it doesn't matter what the topic is. It's the same thing. So you have the rubs. They never work on their own motorcycles. When they travel, they stay at all the best hotels and they eat at all the restaurants. If they're even riding, a lot of times they're trailering their motorcycles places, right? And they wear the black leathers and they do dress up like they're on Halloween. Whereas someone like me, on my biker channel, as you see, you know, I'm always fixing my own, motorcycle right now. That's why it's taken so long. A lot of people are like, oh man, what are you doing? Well, I just didn't drop the fucking thing off at a shop and pay some guy $4,000 to put it together. I got to do it myself. And so that means when I have the money and when I have the time, then I work on it myself. And when I travel, I'm not staying at hotels and all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't matter what the topic is. There's a lot of bullshit on YouTube. Bushcraft, cameras, it doesn't matter. Dogs, it doesn't matter what the topic is. And it was interesting to listen to Bush Radical. So kind of talking to a lot of the younger people out there, you know, they might be afraid to get into this. You don't need a lot of money. We got our first chunk of land here for $1,200, just to let you know. We own more, we've bought more acreage around us since we've lived here. But we got in. I came here on the back of my Harley Davidson. With all the only things I had was what was on my Harley that I could haul. I came here first. My wife stayed in the Chicagoland area. I came here, scouted out a piece of property. What I actually did is I went to New Orleans first, did a photography workshop, and then I came out here totally cold, other than what we had looked at online. And all that I had was on my motorcycle. And when I found this piece of property, I said, hey, you know, I had looked around a little bit. Let's get this piece. It's affordable. I think we can do something. And built from there. I got the, so you need a pickup truck, right? Well, I didn't do a GoFundMe. I didn't panhandle online or anything like that. We had a little bit of money saved. I went to an auction. One of the towns, Corona, was having an auction. And I got a really nice half-ton pickup truck for $900. And we used that probably for about 3 years. And then I found a house to tear down. And so I tore down the house and had my biker channel that was making money, had clients that web marketing management. So I had income coming in. It wasn't a lot, but it was income coming in. And I've built this place with my own from the sweat of my brow. There's never been a contractor hired for anything out here. Nothing at all. Nothing. Now, I came into this, you know, with many decades of jobs and my many living in the trades, construction, carpentry, roofing, that kind of stuff. So I already had all the skills to do this kind of stuff. I'd already heated my house with wood for a long, long time and all that kind of. I've lived without water and electricity for years and years and years. So even if you don't have those skills, you have to be willing to, and that's what I liked about Bush Radical's video, you know, to do it anyway, man. And you don't need a lot of money. Like I said, we got our first piece of property out here for $1,200. And that's what we started out with, was $1,200 and a tent, which I soon learned you can't have a tent out here because it'll get blown away. But I didn't know. You know, I never lived here before. We're at 6,300 feet. The winds are incredible. So, you know, there's the Hollywood version of stuff, and a lot of people that are living off grid really aren't living off grid. And a lot of, like I said, there are people that come here and act like I'm faking it because I have a cell phone. That's the only fucking thing I have here, buddy. I mean, we don't, you know, there's got to be some, like they're insinuating that somehow I'm living just like them because I have a smartphone. Are you out of your mind, dude? You'd go nuts living out here in about 2 seconds. I go years, literally years, in between hot showers. I'll go up the pilot. We don't have running water in our house. There's no running water in this house. It's all toted. We have a rain catchment system outside, and we use those 5 gallon buckets. We have a main tank out here that we get our water, and we carry it into the house to bathe, and we have a little bathroom. And but we heat that water either on the stove outside or the wood stove. So if that's not off grid, I don't know what is, man. And maybe I'll take a video of my wood stove with my smartphone, but we don't have running water here at all. We don't have electricity. As a matter of fact, you know what our solar system is? We have one 800 watt solar panel hooked up to one tractor supply marine battery. We don't have some $40,000 system out here. It is one. We used to have more, but the cows broke our other solar panels. So we got one 800 watt solar panel hooked up to one. We used to have three. We have one marine battery from Walmart or Tractor Supply, and that's the extent. We have a power cord coming into the living room, and that's it. And we charge our phones and our computer and all that kind of stuff off of that. So we don't have running water. We do not have electricity. We have an outhouse that has a really nice, it's not an outhouse hole in the ground. It's a composting toilet, a really nice one. You pay like $2,500 for it. But it's an outhouse. You have to walk outside. And currently, to this day, it doesn't have a roof on it yet. Okay. So today, for example, we got like 50 mile an hour wind. So you have to walk outside to go dump a deuce. You got to go outside to do that. So I don't know, man. This is a pretty real channel. And, you know, I cut all my own firewood. A lot of it is pallet wood that I'm always scrapping. The house is a lot of it is built with used materials that we've gotten from other places. And it's been a real organic, hands-on, little by little. So now, where are we? 6 years later, I almost have this house finished. I hope to finish it this summer and get it wrapped up here. So we have 100% equity. We don't know what we're going to finish it up, and then we're going to get it appraised and see what exactly it's worth. We have no idea. I'm totally ignorant of the housing market. I don't know. Maybe it's worth $100,000. I don't know. I have probably something like that, I would imagine. So, you know, we took original $1,200 investment, and we've invested other things. We've bought lumber and things like that, but we'll have it appraised. And what we're doing is right now I'm scouting for another piece of property. We're going to secure the property. And we're going to start over, and we've learned a few things. So the first thing that I'm going to do, because it's going to be a slow transition over the next 3 years. So step one, find a piece of property. That's the number one goal. Well, finish this house, find a piece of property. Then I'm going to spend time on that property building outbuildings, a place for sheep because we want to have sheep. A shop so that we can have our tools and all of our equipment. And, you know, we got food storage and all kinds of, you need a place for your stuff, man. And then really nice places for the dogs, really nice dog houses, and maybe even some in buildings for them. So that'll be the next phase. Then the next thing is we want to build a cabin, which I have been checking around. A couple different sawmills of what it would cost to purchase logs. What is that costing me a foot to purchase the logs? We're probably not going to, I'm not going to cut them. We decided that's going to be too much. I'm 56 years old. And that might be just a little bit too much work actually cutting all of that log material myself. So, we'll have a little bit of money to spend this time. So purchase the logs, at least for the main structure of the building. We also decided that we want to go a little bit bigger. We almost want to keep the same design as we have here. We really like how I'm in the kitchen right now, and then the living room is over there. The living room is 16 by 20. I think this is 16 by 12, if I'm not mistaken. So what we want to do is 20 foot wide by 24 in the living room. That gives us quite a bit more living area. And then the same thing, I think we want to come 20 by 16 in the kitchen, but pretty much the same straight shot like we got here. And then there's a bedroom off of here. And then there's a bathroom, a little bath with a bathtub, clawfoot bathtub, and a wash area inside attached to the house. So we want to kind of keep that same kind of design going. And then I have a shop over here. And we were going to put a room addition off of this, but we're going to go ahead and wrap this up and sell it. So we're not going to do that. But so we'll get whatever we need for that original 20 by 24. And then let me see, another 16, whatever that is. Get that built. And then as we have time, as we have money, as we have materials, the rest of it doesn't necessarily need to be logs. So we'll build again. We'll build a bedroom, a little bit bigger than what we have, bath area, and then another room, kind of a large office area for me because I'm into photography. I'm into all music, all kinds of things. I need an office area. We're kind of tight here. But yeah, Bush Radical, great video about how a lot of it's really, really a bunch of bullshit. And these people, you know, they're richies and they throw a lot of money at the problems. And that might discourage a lot of people. But let me tell you, you do not have to do it like that. Like I said, we started out $1,200 on our first piece of property here. Now we have quite a bit more property because we've bought the properties around us. And so we have a pretty nice little place here that we ought to be able to get a pretty good chunk of Do Re Mi out of that can then go to fund our last place that we're going to move to. So, you know, what is off grid to the people that say I'm not really off grid because I have a cell phone? Well, I don't know what you call it, man. because I live a lot differently than you do. Like I say, most of the people that are cynical like that, you'd probably cave in about 4 days living out here. You're so used to a dial on. You don't even understand what you don't understand because you're so dependent on that kind of shit. I've had such bad luck with generators. Done with generators. I have no interest in them. I'm actually investing in battery tools because I really like the solar. Oh, another thing that we learned. We have propane refrigerator. Don't want that because I have to go to town all the time for the propane. So, you know, we've learned a few more things through this 6 years that we've been here that we're going to take with us to our next and final destination. We know an area that we really want to live in that's a little less populated than around here, has a much cooler town as the hub. And a lot closer to the type of nature that I'm looking for. But, you know, you don't have to have $1 million to do this at all, man. I really like your channel and Bush Radical too, because of the fact you guys are real. Oh, thank you, man. And practical, not like, those other channels that have, some chick doing chores in a bikini. Yeah, I noticed that too. You know, that's the big draw, I guess, is some chick with tight jeans or something like that. And, yeah, whatever, man. But I mean, that's what sells, you know. Jamon, how you doing? Bob, 1974, what's going on? Are you talking in New Mexico? I missed the beginning. We don't really want to say, you know, that's the other thing. I kind of quit a lot of the videos as far as like, we got to have some privacy, you know. I don't show my place a lot. I used to. Not really interested in that. This isn't really even a bushcraft channel, so to speak. It's my channel, so it's all kinds of things that I'm into. The bushcraft community really turns me off too, because it's all about gear. It's such bullshit all the time. You know, it's always about gear, and end of the world doomsday scenarios and all this crap. And that's not what it is for me. I mean, I've lived this way, not because I think the world's coming to an end. It's just that I prefer to live this way. Like I said, here's how long I've been doing this. Nowadays, those storage building companies all offer various kinds of cabins, right? And the reason they do that, I'm not saying I was the first person ever, but the first wave of people that they didn't offer those. They didn't have cabins. Cook was the company where I first ordered a portable warehouse, and they did not, at the time, they didn't offer any of those cabins. They weren't thinking about it. But people like myself were getting those and then cutting holes in them and putting windows and wood stoves, and they caught on. Aha, there's a market for these prefab cabins. So now, you know, 30 some years later, you can now order these little cabins that are ready made. You know, you got to finish them off on the inside and shit like that. You can order those, but I've been doing this since 1987, and I got interested in this when I was a kid through that book, Alyssa Bay Beryl, Living on Earth, and my parents had a total different life all planned out for me, and I was horrified at the thought, and I was grateful when that book fell in my hand that you can live a different lifestyle. You don't have to live like everybody else. And that's what I based my entire life on, for the most part. In 1987, I was in the eighth grade. Ah, well, cool. But the thing is there's a lot of bullshit on YouTube, man. It doesn't matter what the deal is. And you do not need a bunch of money to do this, man. You know, totally get it. I just remember you talking about possibly a place in Montana. No, Wyoming. Whenever you land, it sounds like a great idea. Yeah, Wyoming is interesting, but here's the problem. The land in Wyoming is ungodly expensive. If it's, and you know, yeah, you can get out in the Great Basin. But, and here's the other bullshit. I see these land companies all the time, right? And they list these great off-grid properties, you know, out in the Great Basin of Wyoming. And people buy that shit not realizing you can't live there, man. You can't live there. Or there's a couple different communities here in New Mexico where they sell these lots all the time. And it's basically desert ghettos full of meth heads, right? They don't tell you that. I'm not going to name the land companies. But they buy these little places at tax sales for, you know, a couple hundred bucks, and then they flip them for $2,500 to people that, as a matter of fact, there's some people out here that bought a piece of property for $5,000. Boy, did they get ripped off. And it's full of shit. It's an old burnt down trailer and a nasty ass boss. Anyway, they're having a hard time. So the land companies are selling these pieces of property in places where you can't even live, you know, and people don't know that. They think, oh, wow, Wyoming, you know, 40 acres for $80,000. And they buy 40 acres out in the Great Basin. But there's not a tree for 100 miles. So I don't know how in the fuck you're going to live. Right. Anything in Wyoming that's worth a while is big dollars, man. Real big. The other thing is that the temperature, the climate there is really cold. So, but you have to, you know, you got to watch that. I would never buy any land sight unseen like that. There's just no way. Like I said, I came out here on my motorcycle, spent about a month and a half looking around. There was a lot of different options, and this served our purposes just about right for what we needed at the time, you know. Like the hardcore biker channels where the guy has a $150,000 bike with 1500 miles on it. Yeah, you know, like I said, a lot of these people are screaming at me, oh man, where's Bertha? I'm working on her myself, man. I'm not a Richie. I don't just drop it off at the dealership and swipe the gold plated credit card. It doesn't work like that for me, you know, so I have to build it as I go. So I got the top end done, and I got the motor back together. I got to put it back on the motorcycle. I have all kinds of other work that I need to do, and I got other things going on in my life, and so I have to have the money and the time to work on it myself. And they're not used to that. They're used to the instant gratification of YouTube and people who got, you know, more dollars than cents, and they just throw money at their problems all the time. And that's not what being a biker is to me. You know, if you ain't working on your own bike and things like that, then, you know, you're dressing up on the weekends. And same thing with most of these bushcraft channels. These guys don't they're out in the city park, you know, doing knife reviews on a knife that they just opened. You know, and it's like, what the fuck? You know, they know nothing about that knife. They know little more than you and I about that knife, and you never see them doing anything. They're never making any spoons. They're never skinning any animals. They're never making any traps. All they're ever doing, it's the same old shit. Did it come out of the box sharp? Let's see if it cuts the hair. And now let's see if it'll baton. Every fucking review. Oh, my God. I mean, that's like, I don't, first of all, it doesn't matter to me if it came razor sharp out of the box. I know how to sharpen a knife, and I don't baton wood. Why this is, and here's what's weird. I've lived like this for, I don't know how long, man, since 87, basically. Actually, before that, I was running away from home in high school, living in a teepee. But anyway, so I go all these years with off-grid and alternative lifestyle. Then YouTube, just a few years ago, I start watching these YouTube channels. I've never batoned wood in all of my fucking life, man. Never even thought about taking my knife and beating it through a log. Just never crossed my mind. Have never had to do that. Yet in the bushcraft community, this is like the one and only test that they do on a knife. I want to know, does the damn thing hold an edge? How does it hold an edge? Does it stay sharp? And how hard is it to put an edge on, you know? And so this is probably a knife I use more than anything else. This is the Mora Classic. I use this thing like constantly. I just used it, as a matter of fact. I think it's like a $28 knife. And I do everything with it, you know, but that's what the world is. And it was really kind of refreshing to see Bush Radical do that. He was going easy on him, you know. There's a lot of bullshit out there, you know, and I'm not part of it. So people that think I don't live off grid because I have a smartphone, I really disagree with you. Very much so. I built this place myself, man. No help from anybody. Oh, I think I had I brought a couple guys from town to help me stand up these walls. I got 10-foot ceilings here made out of 2x6s. So I had some people help do that. I did have a guy help me that I hired get the metal up on the roof. But outside of that, man, I built all of this shit with my own knowledge, my own two hands, our own money. We don't owe, never have owed anybody anything for this place, not a dime. Like I said, 100% equity. Whatever it appraises for, whatever we sell it for, it's 100% profit. We don't own a bank. And you know, like he was saying, we were faced with the same choice. Why did we do this? So there's been a couple different times where I've tried to live like a normal person. It never really works. So my wife of 22 years, had a business that really tanked us really bad. And we ended up being homeless and having to spend the summer in an easy up out at a campground. And I knew she was mine right then because she didn't begrudge that at all and adapted to it. She's not from here. She's from Poland. But anyway, so we're up in the Chicagoland area, and I accidentally get sent with somewhat famous and internationally published as a photographer, which I wasn't trying to do. So we're living in a little apartment, paying $1,500 a month rent, and just like, man, we're never going to get anywhere. And so just like him, you got a couple of choices. You can either rent a place forever and ever and ever, save up a whole shitload of money, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and then take out a 30-year bank loan, right? That's an option. Or you can cash your chips in what you got and run with it. And because I have these skills, and a really good partner, a really good wife, she was like, yeah, let's do this. So we went from renting going nowhere to owning in 6 years to owning a home and multiple acres of property, free and clear, looking now for our next place. We don't owe anybody anything for it. And so that was the way to go for us. So, you know, if you don't have a lot of money and you're young, go learn how to do this stuff, man. Just get out there and do it, and you'll learn it. You'll learn it. You know, it's not about throwing money at everything. It's you know, like I said, I'm still tearing down buildings. I'm waiting for this person actually this morning to send me some photographs of the outbuildings that they want taken down. And I need to, the ceilings are not done in here. It's still insulation. So I got to finish the ceilings in here. I have to put the batten strips on the outside. We got board and batten on the outside, and I need batten strips on everything. And then I need to do all the trim moldings everywhere. There's probably some other things, but it's mostly done. And then we can have it appraised and move on. And we're doing the same thing again. We're not spending $1 million on a piece of property. There's ways to get property. I don't really want to say necessarily, but there's ways to get large parcels of property for a really decent price. And we're looking at a couple of parcels between 40 and 100 acres that are very, very affordable. You know, one of the things that makes a property affordable, everybody's looking, does it have high speed internet? Does it have power lines nearby? Does it have water? Right? That's what everybody's looking for. So if you're willing to live in a place that ain't got no damn internet, no power lines for 50 miles, absolutely no water, that's property that you're going to be able to afford, because most people don't. I mean, we looked at a 5-acre parcel up in the mountains. I think it was 30 grand. Most stuff goes for 150 grand. And the reason it was only 30 grand is because you're never going to have power there. You're never going to have any of those things. Real nice piece of property. We want more than 5 acres though. But, anyway, you know, that's something to consider when you're looking for a piece of property. If you need all that kind of shit, then you're going to pay a hell of a lot more, because everybody wants that, you know. But, you can do this with little or no money. You sure can. You just have to be able to put sweat equity into things. You got to be able to work. And if you don't have the skills, you got to be willing to learn. And it can be on the job training. You know what I mean? You might not know how to build a house or how to do framing. There's a lot of books. There's a lot of YouTube videos that can show you how to do that shit. And you'll live and learn. And that's what life is, right? Living and learning. Like I said, I came into this already knowing all that stuff. So there really isn't any aspect of house building that I'm not really familiar with. I'm a damn good carpenter. Electrician, not my cup of tea. Plumbing, I can do those things. They're not my specialty. But when it comes to stick framing and carpentry and cabinet making and all that kind of stuff, I don't have any problems with any of it. Been doing it since I was a little kid. So I had an advantage in that I was hip to all that kind of stuff. So, and we didn't have to hire out. And you know what I'm saying? What do you guys think? What do you think? Like I said, I didn't know Bush Radical was married to girl from in the woods. I did not know. Actually, that's the first video of his that I've watched in its entirety. I really don't watch a lot of these channels, man. They're so gimmicky, so unauthentic, pimping gear and fear, and they're not really doing it. And don't throw me in that category, man, because I'm sorry. I beg to differ with you, man. This place is off the grid. There is just no doubt about it. I mean, when you go years in between taking a hot shower, you're probably living off grid. Now, that doesn't mean I don't get clean. It's just that we don't have running water in the house, none whatsoever. And it's just the way it is and the way it's going to be. Now, when we there's some things we want to change on the next place. One of them is we're going to have running water in the house, not hooked up to the city. It's going to be rainwater, but we're going to go ahead and get some pumps. Shit, man, I've had that propane heater, on-demand water heater, since we've moved here. I've just never hooked the thing up. So we'll take that with us and have a shower house with hot shower. So that is something that we wish to change. What else? Oh, and we're going to upgrade our solar system. We would like to have more solar. But as to date, like I said, we got one 800-watt solar panel, and it's cracked all over the place, and one marine battery. That's what we run this joint off of. We don't use generators. That is all the power we have, is that little 12-volt and a little 400-watt power inverter that you use in your car. That's what we run out here, man. Very high tech, huh? Most of our drinking water we get from town in the 5-gallon buckets. There's all kinds of water stations here in New Mexico with really good drinking water. But we don't need that. We have our own water collection system. It's just it's convenient to not have to boil it. And, you know, a lot of those filters are like thousands and thousands of dollars. We don't do none of that shit here, man. This is grassroots shit out here. This is real. This is for people who don't have a whole shitload of money and are playing off grid on the weekends. You know, that's not what we got going on here. Not at all. Not at all. And yeah, I got a smartphone, but that doesn't mean I live on grid. No way, baby cakes. No way. I don't know if they're just not showing up or if that's the last thing someone had to say. There's probably more. They seem to pop up in a flurry of a group. Tonight we're doing a live stream, and also on Thursday about some other issues. I'm doing a second one on the global warming, man-made hysteria bullshit. Amazing how many scientists come out and tell you the truth about it. But we're going to do that on Thursday. It'll be my second one on that topic. But yeah, we're really looking forward to this next move, and this is it. This is our swan song, our last place that we're gonna have, and it's a lot closer to, like I said. Well, one of the other things, I want to start making money busking and playing my guitar. So I want to be near a town that has that type of atmosphere where I can do that, and kind of get away from Moriarty's kind of a shithole dump, you know. Stillwater, New York, 7 inches of snow. That kind of sucks, don't it? Yeah, we like the climate here. I mean, it's not too hot. It's not too cold. Where we particularly, and now see, we didn't know this. We live in a wind tunnel. We have the most consistent and severe winds in New Mexico where we're at, you know. So, you know, you can't learn everything until you get there. And that's what this place was. It was a toehold. So I could explore, you know. I've been to Utah and all over the place, you know, Arizona, Nevada, Wyoming, South Dakota, a lot of different places. Thomas, how you doing, man? Good morning, everyone. Good morning to you as well. We're just talking about off-grid real living and, you know, how there's the Hollywood version, which is YouTube, and how that's not just having to do with off-grid. It's whether it's a dog channel or busking no good in Albuquerque. Oh, hell no. Dude, I stay out of Albuquerque like a sexually transmitted disease. It is an absolute shithole. It is a depressing shithole. No. I'm glad you gave Bush Radical a chance. I think I mentioned him, live streamed it before. Yeah, I'm not going to watch him. Like I said, I don't watch. Here's the thing. I don't. A lot of people watch a lot of these channels because they're kind of living vicariously through these other people. I don't watch motorcycle channels. I don't watch like off-grid channels. I really don't. Because I'm doing those things myself. I don't need to live vicariously. And most of them are bullshit anyway. If I'm looking for, like, for real information, like Homesteading the Hard Way, Chris out there in Carolina, just a good old boy, you know. And I wanted to learn about, you know, what kind of livestock and learned that we're not going to do pigs and we're going to do sheep because that's what is best in our area. So if I'm looking for information to learn something, I'll go and explore a little bit. But I don't watch, 95% of what I watch on YouTube is philosophy and history. And I don't watch these. I mean, they come up, but I really don't watch them, you know. I'm not looking for a bunch of gear, you know, so I don't watch Junkyard Fox. I mean, there's no reason for me to watch that channel. There's nothing there for me. You know, I'm not looking for gear, and I already know how to start a fire, and there's nothing there. The title caught my eye on Bush Radical of how, I think it was called a Off-Grid Living is a Lie. That kind of caught my attention, so I went ahead and watched it. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything. It's just I don't spend my time watching those type of things. I just don't. I have no idea what's going on in the biker channels. I don't watch them. I don't even watch David Canterbury. I mean, David Canterbury's out of gas. He's doing videos on how to make pancakes and the next Bush potty's selling, you know. I used to learned a lot off of Dave as far as like trapping and stuff like that. Really got me in tune with a lot of that kind of stuff. I'd say that's probably what I learned most off of David Canterbury was the trapping. So I'm not saying there isn't things to learn. It's just at some point you run out of gas and you start doing, you know, how to make pancakes, which I already know how to make fucking pancakes. And I'm not looking for gear. I don't need another Bush pot, you know, not really looking. I think that's why Far North Bushcraft gave it up. I mean, at some point, you know, how many more videos can you do on how to set up a tarp? You know, it's just a waste of fucking time. But I mean, that's what YouTube's all about, you know, is constant content. And that's what people want is mindless entertainment. But I don't play into that, you know. I watch certain channels for new ideas on how to do a lot of things too, but new ideas never hurt. Oh no, there's no doubt about that. It's just they're in short supply. You know, Blackie Thomas. I used to watch him a long, long time ago, and learned about black powder, but then there's nothing there for me. I do not need to know how to camp out of the back of a fucking pickup truck. I was living in a Ford Pinto in 1982. So I don't, nothing Blackie's. And Blackie is usually at the park or something doing some kind of something. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my day's going great. It really is, man. We've had a beautiful, beautiful weekend. And So yeah, I don't spend my time with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Unless I'm looking for, like, if I'm looking for, and then a lot of times, you know, I'll order books. The next place I'm going to build a fireplace, and I want to build it myself. I'm actually gathering stone here that we'll take with us. So we ordered six or seven used books, and one of those books was just da bomb, right? I didn't even look online, you know. There's a lot of things with books that are much better than what you get online, because online, everybody's looking for attention. Everybody's looking for views. Everybody's looking for monetization. And if it's authentic and real, really takes a back seat to all that. So books are a great thing for learning things, and always have been. But yeah, most of my time is on like world events, philosophy, history. I don't watch photography channels. Really don't. Music and cool. Yeah, I watch music too. Yep. Music and cool videos of all kinds. Not a fan of short bullshit. Well, then you're not a fan of YouTube, because YouTube is just saturated with bullshit, you know. Oh, Brian Johnson, you know, I went and left a comment. He's a guy that I at one point learned a lot about search engine optimization. And he's kind of like a TV evangelist, where everybody's wanting to be a YouTube star, right? So he's got a channel about how to be a YouTube star. And then he's got this photography channel that he can't get off the ground, right? Because he's not preaching that that paradise in heaven kind of stuff. The only channel I watch is yours regularly. Oh, well, thanks, Rick. You're one of the very few. Like I said, I haven't had increase in subscribers on this channel in over a year. Because I don't do any of those things that would give you lots of subscribers, you know. I don't play into it. And wanting to even get more and more out of it. One of the cool things, I was talking with some galleries. So this is a little thing I put together, and I'm actually revamping it. It's just a little deal with a little taste in my photography. And we're getting down to publishing Against Doctor's Orders as a book. I got a really good longtime friend of mine that's doing an oil painting for the cover. We got one more round of text editing next Saturday. Then I'm going to start formatting it in the software, getting the photos and the text all together. And we'll probably order 3 or 4 copies and make changes. And then it's going to be ready to rock and roll. But something that I'm wanting to do, again, to get off of this online world, print on demand is real big. And that's cool. I'm going to do that. Print on demand. I'm going to do the Amazon Kindle. But I'm going to hire a printer and fork out the $2,500 or whatever the minimum is to get my first printing of actual books in my hand, so that I can sell those in actual bookstores. And while I'm busking, I'll be able to sell my book to actual real people in the real world. And the thing with print on demand, there's not a lot of profit margin, because the print, they take most of the profit, because most people don't have $2,500 to get a printing together. So it serves a very viable purpose. And I've used print on demand a lot, but it's real hard to make any money. You definitely don't want a bulk order from them, because you're not going to make any money by the time the bookstore gets their cut and the tax man gets their cut, and you know, you're left holding a hot dog bun with no hot dog. So I'm wanting to move more and more off of the online thing, because I just don't play well with it, because authenticity is not what gets you a bunch of subscribers for the most part, and it's all good. It is what it is, but I love playing my music, really getting my routine down here, and there's a lot of opportunity for me to make halfway decent money playing my guitar and selling my books and my prints. I have some nature prints that I sell in tourist shops, and I'm really wanting to get off of this, you know, trying to make money on YouTube thing. It's not my cup of tea, man. Lot of garbage on YouTube. Oh, dude, it's soaked. Half throttle. I had icicles on the inside of my cabin the other morning. It's getting a little chilly in here. I need to go stoke my stove. Cool. Yeah, you have all my mags. Yep, those might be collector's items at some point. You'll see. Your photography is outstanding. Thank you, Ray. Really appreciate it. You know, we went up. It was funny. We went up to this one gallery, and real snobby, you know. And good photos, right? And I went and inquired, you know, about, hey, how would you get a show here? And you know, because he's looking at me thinking nothing. And like my wife is saying, she's like, dude, there ain't nothing on these walls that you don't have. I mean, I have really powerful world-class photos. And, you know, I'm not a name dropper or, you know, some famous dude, but I got solid work, man. So, there's actually another, now not everybody's like that. We actually talked to a couple real down to earth people, who want me to bring my stuff in so they could take a look at it. And, but I'm going to make sure I go back to when I have my book published and I got my little samples just to say, here, fuck you, asshole. Now they won't ever have me and that's fine, you know, but just to say, hey, fuck you, man. I got some good shit. And, Woo! The only biker channels I watch to watch your back row biker channel and Shade Tree. Yeah, you know what? Shade Tree's a real dude. Absolutely. No, one of the few, you know, one of the few. John the Afro, president of the Afro Nation. That guy's such a cheese dick. You know, and so many of them, you know. But no, Shade Tree is a real deal. Saddle Tramp 2's probably got a good channel, you know. But I'm just tired of all that. I have my own webpage. I just have to use it more. Yeah, me too. I've had a website for a long time. Is that a new guitar? Or I remember you playing another one. It's new to me, but it's a used Ovation. I don't know if you use Instagram. No. But that's a good way for you to promote. Now, I'm not interested in that shit anymore. Ads are as cheap. Yeah, I'm not. I'm actually going to. There's a couple. It costs a lot of money. For example, there's this one company, and it's about $4,000. But what they get you is on major podcasts, interviews. And then there's other advertising that I'm going to. And Instagram isn't really one I'm going to be messing with. I don't think anyway. No, I'm not on Instagram. I might be by accident because it automatically posts because of my Facebook or something like that. I don't know, but I'm not, I don't have an Instagram app. I just started another Twitter account. My old one was shadow banned. And so look at, for me on Twitter as well. If you were of an ethnic background, you would be printed. Well, if I was politically correct, the whole thing hinged on what I was saying about Mike Brown, Ferguson, Missouri, which I have. I'm actually going to change that photo for something different. Like I said, I have some really stellar photographs, even from that could easily be in Time magazine. But won't be. And that's okay. Because I don't have the right narrative, right? This was all a lie. And the real problem is black on white racism, not the other way around. But the gatekeepers ain't going to let you in with that story. But that's okay. You still need to roll and use what you can use to do your deal. But no, it's not even my ethnicity. It was like I said, the second time I came back from Ferguson, a lot of you guys might know Brian Soko, just an incredible photographer. And I was telling him, man, I can't run with this narrative, dude. This was, and he goes, man, if you say that, it's a career ender. Like I said, there were some people that were going to nominate me as a Magnum photographer and all kinds of shit. And it all come to a crashing end when I called a spade a spade. And I'm not bitching about it. I'm just telling you what is. I'm not complaining. I don't care. Well, I mean, everybody would love to be, maximize their well-knownness and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not going to sacrifice truth, you know, just for – plus, you know, how many I was published in the BBC, you know, the largest news agency in the world, the Daily Mail, the second largest news agency in the world, at least a dozen magazines across Europe. And I wasn't even trying to do that as a photographer. So I feel pretty successful. I'm not a trained photographer. I'm not in the news business, and I managed to become internationally published with my work. And I'm not done. You know, before I pay for that really expensive advertising, I want to have two more books published. So I got Against Doctor's Orders. I've actually been writing Putting a Price on Heaven, which is actually my magnum opus when it comes to the heroin story. Against Doctor's Orders was really a footnote. So I got my main body of work that I'm, and then I'm done with heroin. And then I have Alley Boys, which I haven't started writing yet. But I do have all the photos together. And then I have My Feral City, which is New Orleans, which I haven't started writing yet. I've taken a lot of notes, and I got those photos together. And the whole time I've taken journal notes through all of this kind of stuff. So I have a lot of work, and that's why the making the production YouTube videos has to go, because there's only so much time. And I really want to get my books published, and it takes a long time. I'm thinking it's probably going to be another year before I have Putting Up Price on Heaven, maybe a year and a half before I have that done. But once I have that and I have the New Orleans or the Alley Boys, then I'll pay for something like $4,000, because then I'll have multiple books that people can choose from. But I'm also going to invest so that I can get hard copies of my book that I can sell myself. I have it right here. I can take it around to used bookstores. A lot of the used bookstores and all over the place have you know, local authors. And that allows for a profit margin, you know, where I can make $10 a book. You know, doing it print on demand, it's really difficult because they really charge a lot. And there's not a lot there for the author. So, you know, but you got to go forward regardless. Black Dragon. Oh, he's an absolute racist. I actually have an audio. We talked on the phone for several hours. I've never played it or anything, but no, he doesn't like white people. He has a lot of animosity, quote unquote. Gotta go shovel snow. All right, Ray. John the Cheese Dick. Oh, yeah, he is, dude. Almost spit out my coffee. John the Afro, president of the Afro Nation. I mean, he wears his race on his sleeve, man. I journaled a while on the computer until it crashed and lost it. Oh, my journal writing is on paper. Always has been. I've been journal writing since 1981. but that's all on paper. I don't have all that stuff online. And, you know, but I'm well on my way getting started on Putting a Price on Heaven. And like I said, it'll probably be a year and a half before I have that out. And I really want that to be really, really good. Not that Against Doctor's Orders is very well written. I'm very proud of it. And the photos are solid. And probably in the next 5 weeks, I'll have that out. I've been looking forward to seeing your Alley Boys. Yeah, me too, man. Sorry it takes so long. Well, you know, if you're going to ride your motorcycle all over the place and do videos, you don't have a whole lot of time to be writing your Alley Boys. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing videos about bushcraft, then you don't have time. And, you know, you really have to, like, prioritize. So pretty much the only thing I want to do as far as I don't even do dog videos anymore. But pretty much, you know, on Mondays and Thursdays, and even that might be, you know, not real consistent, is do things on important issues. Like tonight we're doing the problem with the Christian concept of God and suffering, you know, things like that. And that way I have time every day to practice my guitar, get my routine together, work on these books, and drive this house. When you live off grid, you have to drive the house. Like, it's getting cold in here because there's no dial on the wall. I have to actually go and put wood in the wood stove. Yeah, Rick, that's the best way to journal, dude. Don't have that stuff on digital. It's a disappearing world. You know, that's the other reason why I'm going to go ahead and print my stuff up. There's nothing like holding it in your hand. I mean, it's one thing to have it, you know, on Amazon Kindle, which I don't even use myself. And it's another thing to, I even got some good mixed martial arts, but yeah, there wasn't nothing in that gallery that I don't have. And that's the honest to God truth. And that's just not me saying that. That's other people. I have world-class documentary photography. I don't have the right politics. And it's okay. I'm not bitching. I'm kind of glad, actually, you know. And the way I go about this, that's great. New Orleans, the Big Easy. Oh, here's a real great photo of Lisa. My buddy's actually doing an oil painting of that one as well. She's deceased. She's a famous busker. But that'll be a real good book too. But yeah, Alley Boys, man, that'll be real good too. I like the feel of paper books. Oh, absolutely, dude. It's, you know, there's nothing like it, you know. But you do have great photography. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it, man. And I agree. I do. But I don't even have time to take photos, you know, because I have a body of work that I haven't produced as it needs to be produced. And that's what I need to work on. And so there's a lot of bullshit out there, but don't be intimidated about, you know, if you're a young person and you want to live off grid and you think, wow, I don't have a bunch of money, you're watching the wrong YouTube channels, man. Because like I said, we got in for $1,200 and started from there. You know, I got flyers out. I turned down houses, putting flyers out to tear down houses. I got a couple houses that were just too big. Now, if you were a young guy, if you were young and had a little bit of help, there's houses you don't even have to go buy wood, man. I'm telling you, there are houses that you can go and take down and reuse that material, and you got your gas and your labor. Don't think that you got to go drop $20,000-$30,000 at a lumber yard, man, because you don't. If you have what it takes, there is plenty of shit laying around. And to me, that's real authentic grassroots off-grid living. Not Les Stroud having a helicopter deliver the $40,000 solar system, you know, or you know, hiring all these contractors. And that's not what the off-grid movement was about. Just like bikers weren't about IT guys and gold credit cards. That is not what bikers were, right? Same kind of thing, man. It's alternative living, and it's living on earth, and it's trying to live cheaply and frugally, and doing stuff yourself, and reusing stuff, and learning and suffering, and not just throwing money at problems all the time. You know what I'm saying? It all takes time. Yep, I shoot for newspapers every day. Oh, cool, man. And it's hard to find time to put all my stuff together. Yeah, it is, into cohesive projects. It's really hard. Luckily, I have the time and money for film photography. No doubt, man. Got the dark room. Oh, way cool. I've been shooting professional drag racings for over 5 years. Awesome, man. And I still have had time to put it together. It takes a lot of time. I built my cabin for $1,000. Absolutely, Half Throttle, no doubt. Absolutely, you don't need, and that's why I was really grateful that Bush Radical did that video, because there's more than one ways to skin a cat, you know. I lived in a one-room cabin for a couple years. I did have power, but no running water and wood heat, and I loved it. Yeah, man, I do. We do. We're not changing, you know. We're going to upgrade a little bit on our next place, but, you know, 100% equity here. Whatever it appraises for and we sell it for, you know, like I said, we do have money invested in it, but we didn't take out some $30,000 down payment and a 30-year mortgage. No fucking way. Nor did we go and drop, you know, $20,000 at a lumberyard. You know, you don't have to do those kind of things. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. Tonight is a real good podcast live stream we're going to do on the Christian concept of God and the problem of suffering in the world. There's a members area. We have over 50 videos over on the members area. If you wish to help support the channel, that's a great way, and you get extra content on there. And then Thursday, we're going to do another one on the catastrophic climate change mumbo jumbo bullshit. And we're going to do it on that. So, hey, don't be afraid to live an alternative lifestyle and get your hands dirty, because you don't need a bunch of money, man. You need intestinal fortitude and the will and the desire to do it. And that's worth more than money. Absolutely. All right, everybody. You have a good day. I got to go stoke my soul before we freeze to death.